This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. A group of Republican lawmakers, including Mary Miller from Illinois' 15th District, are proposing legislation that would cut funding to colleges or universities that provide access to medical abortions through campus clinics.
The abortion industry has a long-term strategy to make abortion self-managed and unrestricted. They exploit young women. And I have been face to face with tearful young women who were vulnerable, who were selfish, and who were uninformed and made a horrible decision that affected them physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
The legislation, which to be clear is unlikely to pass, is just one of many proposed abortion restrictions across the country. Many are being blocked by the courts. Miller and her GOP colleagues say their idea is in response to a measure in California that would require state universities to provide access to medical abortion medication on campus by the year 2023. To help separate some of the talking points from facts, we're joined now by Dr. Jen Villavicencio. She's a practicing obstetrician-gynecologist. She provides comprehensive health care to her patients and is the lead for equity transformation at the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Villavicencio, welcome to The 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to begin by asking about the procedure itself. Opponents sometimes call this chemical abortion. I understand the medical term is medical abortion. What is a medical abortion?
So I often also refer to it as a medication abortion because it clarifies that it is a termination of a pregnancy using medication or pills. And it's something that you can access if you are pregnant in the first trimester, so within the first 10 weeks of pregnancy. And it is a two medication regimen. You take one pill and then you take four pills afterwards. So mifepristone is the first pill. Then you take misoprostol afterwards. And what that does is essentially induce a miscarriage or an abortion. And then you pass the pregnancy as you would a miscarriage if you had lost your pregnancy. And so it is an extraordinarily safe way to end a pregnancy. We have over two decades of data to suggest that it is an extraordinarily safe way to end a pregnancy and to have an abortion. And it is utilized by around half of people who access abortion in the first trimester.
Can you talk about the semantics of that, using that phrase medication or medical versus chemical?
Sure. So chemical is not something that in the medical field we use. If you go back to your chemistry 101, your inorganic or organic chemistry, everything is a chemical. Water is a chemical. And so it's not really a very specific or descriptive term. And so certainly medication abortion is much more descriptive in terms of what it actually is, as opposed to an in-clinic or a procedural abortion in which we're doing a procedure to end a pregnancy.
So I understand at a news conference announcing this idea, Representative Miller from Illinois and a senator from Montana talked about how this is protecting the health of quote-unquote girls and college women by not allowing them to access this. I wonder if you could address that point.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to speak to the audience from a personal note. I actually grew up extraordinarily conservative and, you know, had a large part in the pro-life movement for a long time. And so I understand the desire to keep women and girls and people who can get pregnant safe and to protect them from things that could hurt them. I totally understand that. And I understand why abortion would be a conflicting feeling for folks. What I can tell you now as a physician who provides abortion care is that, in fact, the way to keep women, girls, and people who are pregnant safe is to allow them access to privacy and the safest care with their doctors or people who provide them abortion. And so restricting their ability to either continue their pregnancy safely or end their pregnancy safely based on an ideology is not only incredibly unfair, but is really not science-based, it's not evidence-based, and it's certainly not in the best interests of women and girls.
Wow. Can I pause on, and thank you for sharing that, ask you to talk about your own journey from one end of the political spectrum on this point and to the other?
Absolutely. So I, as I mentioned, grew up, you know, very conservative, grew up in a Catholic home and was a pro-life activist. So I was one of the people that was attending these rallies and holding signs and truly in my heart believed that opposing abortion was the way to protect women and girls, much like the talking points that you just mentioned. However, over the course of my medical training, I had some personal as well as professional experiences that demonstrated to me that life and reproduction are much more complex than these two boxes that politicians make us fit into, either pro-life or pro-choice. And in fact, what really matters is that people, the women who come to me for care, are the experts in their own lives. They know what is best for them and for their families in the same way that all of your listeners know what's best for them and for their families. And so I realized over the course of time, it wasn't, you know, an instantaneous moment, but over the course of time that I was better serving my neighbors, my community, my family members, my friends, by taking them in with compassion and non-judgment and helping them access safe and evidence-based care. And if that meant that they knew at that time that a pregnancy was not right for them, I would be there to help them end that pregnancy. If they knew that pregnancy was the best thing that could ever happen to them at that time, I would be there to help them through that pregnancy in a healthy way and deliver their baby at the end. And for me, that is how I'm fulfilling my sort of moral duty to serve people as a physician and as a doctor, is by taking people as they come to me and helping them in whatever way that they need and trusting that they understand what it is that they need in their own lives, rather than following an ideology that definitely is not based in science and is frankly ends up being quite judgmental and repressive to people who are trying to access care.
So one of the organizations that's backing this legislation we've been talking about, Students for Life, said that it was in part a response to that legislation that had passed in California. I mentioned it earlier. It's going to require colleges and universities to stock abortion pills, so to speak. They said they don't want college campuses to, quote, become abortion facilities. What is your response to that?
I understand why they would be uncomfortable with that. I understand why abortion can make folks, especially those who think abortion is wrong, make people feel uncomfortable. What I would urge everyone, including those who are in Students for Life, which I once was, to really think about the individuals for whom they are trying to make these laws. And restricting care, we know over the course of history, all care, not only abortion care, but any kind of health care, does not serve our neighbors and our communities. And so rather than kind of being entrenched in an ideology where it's a box of yes abortion or no abortion, or abortion is wrong or abortion is good, I think that trying to get to a point where we are compassionate and non-judgmental about people who are seeking care is the best place to go. And certainly, you know, I can adamantly counter the talking points that this is unsafe and that it would be a problem for college campuses or unsafe for college students, because that certainly is not the case. We know that medication abortion is extraordinarily safe, and we know that they can access it, anybody can access it from nurses or doctors and have a very safe abortion. And certainly being able to do that on your college campus would be a great way for college students who need these services to be able to stay within their community and not need to go outside of it in order to access this really important vital care.
The last thing I want to ask you about, given your own personal journey you've described on this topic, how do you talk to people? I don't know if there are people you still are connected with from earlier in life when you were younger, or maybe even family members. How do you talk to them about these divisive issues?
I talk to a lot of people who don't necessarily agree with me or are confused about how I ended up where I am providing abortion care. And the way that I start is by acknowledging and understanding that this is not a black and white issue, and this can be complicated for a lot of people. It's complicated for some of the people that I see who are seeking abortion. Some of the women that come in, they have complex feelings about it. What they do know for sure, though, is that this is the right decision for them at this time. And so what I try to help people who may disagree with me understand is that oftentimes we share similar values. I value family. I value independence. I value the safety of women and children, just as these Republican lawmakers and the Students for Life that you mentioned, just as they do. And I try to help them understand that the better way to achieve these values in our daily lives is to really to support the women and people who are coming to us for care, and listen to what they're asking for, which is better access to their doctors and to the people who are taking care of them, rather than really being entrenched in an ideology. And so I do the best that I can to understand where they're coming from, reach out a hand and meet them where they are, while also holding solid to my own values and what I know, not only from my expertise in medicine and in science as a physician scientist, but also as someone who exists in the world and takes care of people on a daily basis. It's not my job to decide what's best for people. It's, I believe very deeply that people have an expertise in their own lives and they are able to make the decision that makes most sense for them.
Dr. Jen Villavicencio is lead for equity transformation at the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and a practicing obstetrician gynecologist. Dr. Villavicencio, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today on the 21st.
Thank you so much for reporting on this very important issue.
More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.